This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates. Yes, you are here on Checkpoint Intimates, our weekly show where two members of the Checkpoint team get intimate on a particular topic. My name is Luke and I am joined by Cam.
Hello.
Hello. We are getting intimate without Elliot.
For the first time, Elliot's usually getting intimate with everyone here.
Yeah, he gets around that boy. So we're not here, we've usurped him for the day. And we are doing intimates. And today talking about, I guess, the idea of beta testing and whether it works or not, partly because the Sea of Thieves closed beta is happening at the moment, which I got to play a bit over the last couple of days.
January as a whole was a very beta-heavy month, actually. A lot of games had their betas come out during this period.
And I guess it normally is because it's kind of a downtime in terms of game releases. Yeah. So December, January is a good time to kind of test things out, to kind of see, you know, whether servers are going to hold the right amount of people, especially in an online game like Sea of Thieves and stuff like that, where they really need to make sure that the servers can hold enough people to play these games. So Sea of Thieves, the beta, it didn't have a smooth start, let's just say. I had some problems.
Wasn't smooth sailing?
It was not smooth sailing.
Hey.
But there was something in the water about the way it was created. It had some problems. There were some errors. The servers were down for a bit on the first day. I guess people were very excited about it, probably jumped in. I know it basically gave access to everyone that took part in the alpha at any point, plus anyone that's pre-ordered the game as well. So it really had the largest number of people that would have had so far. And I think that it couldn't handle the load, basically. So it's basically you laughing. Of course you are. I said load.
Stop.
You stop. And I mean, I played it yesterday, didn't have any problems. But I have to think, you know, if people downloaded it for the first time thinking, oh, I want to try Sea of Thieves, is that going to sour their opinion on potentially purchasing the game once it comes out in 2 months' time?
So now you played the alpha before this, hadn't you?
I did, yes.
So you had a bit of an idea of what you were expecting going in.
Yeah.
How long was the downtime for it?
I think it depended on where you were and what it was. I think it was like not for everyone as well. It was kind of unspecific. There was a big chunk, like several hours, where it wasn't working, which can be enough to put you off playing it altogether, really, for some people. It's like, well, I've tried it, it didn't work, this. It is working now, though, so, I mean, you know, people jump in this weekend, which I have too. But yeah, I think it goes back to other games have had betas in the past that have been either successful or not. Like Destiny is one of the big ones that comes to mind. That's a game that the beta sold me on it completely and I had to buy it after playing it.
Whereas I've had people who actually went the complete opposite direction. So they've picked up the beta. They were so hyped for the game. They picked it up. They played it and went, maybe
not.
Is that
it?
Is that it? It's that thing where you're offering, you can only offer a portion of the game. Because the whole point is usually, for most betas, is testing servers. So you usually want to only offer a couple activities to get as many people through those activities as possible to really see how much, like, how much of a pounding the servers can take.
Yeah.
And it... Yeah, see, you're laughing.
Yeah, you said pounding!
Yeah, deliberately. I chose that word. And so it then makes... It can affect it in the way that you go in and then you're suddenly like, oh, well, is this... You know, I'm not being offered much, and you start. Does that sour your opinion of the game from there?
Yeah, and Sea of Thieves for me is in a similar position. Now, I love Sea of Thieves. I really enjoy my time with it. I've, you know, spent a lot of time hyped for this game. I like a lot about it. But even the beta itself, it is sort of limited in what you can do, probably intentionally, because they don't want to give away everything before the game launches, because you're then showing your hand too early, right? So in this one, you essentially you can get sort of voyages, they're called. So you go and buy a voyage from the dude on the beach, and then you take that voyage and you can go on this voyage, which is usually a map which marks where some treasure is on an island. You find the island with your crew, so you know you got your big ship and you're going off together. You find that it gives you some riddles, which leads to another island. The riddles are usually like, you know, find this rock which has this on it and then head 10 paces to the east or whatever and then search for the treasure chest.
Yeah.
So there's a few of those. You do like three of those and then it ends the mission basically. You hand it in, get your rewards, get your gold rewards, which you can then buy more things. grab another voyage, and off you go and do another one. And it's the same thing. It's go find a treasure chest on the island, it's marked, and then do the riddle later.
Okay, so it's that really limited kind of hand-holding narrative, like gameplay.
I wouldn't say it's hand-holding, because the way it's done is very... There's no UI, there's no quest marker. You get like a picture of a map with a picture of the island, and you have to use your gigantic world map to find the island that looks the same, and then steer there to find the X that's marked based on just a picture of a map without any real kind of... quest marker or anything like that.
So there is still randomness to how these quests are being given out to you?
Not really how they're given to you, but...
No, but like in the ones that you're getting, it's not always like you're not going to the same islands over and over?
Well, no, it's different. It's not the same. There's a bunch of different voyages, basically. And once you do that voyage, it's done. And if you do the same voyage, it's the same thing, basically. Right. So,
how many voyages in whole were you given?
There's a bunch you can choose from. I think we've done about 5 or 6 yesterday. There's more I haven't done. So, I mean, there's a few.
That's a fair chunk, I feel.
But they're all the same thing.
Okay.
They're all go get the chest, hand the chest in, get the money. And what you can't plan for is if there's other pirate ships on the way that might interfere with you. You can fight with another ship. They could jump on board and steal your treasure from you. Have a sword fight with a skeleton. There's cool things that can happen. As you play, there's even this cool different types of chests. There's one treasure chest where while you're carrying it, it makes you drunk.
When
you're walking, you can't walk in a straight line. It's impossible. Fantastic. So you're like moving side to side like you're super drunk carrying this chest that plays music. And another chest which cries. And that means if it's on your boat, it starts flooding your ship while you're on your ship. So you have to keep bucketing out the water while this chest is crying. So it's got some cool stuff, some cool ideas.
Yeah, I think that's pretty funny.
But also, I'm wondering what else is there going to be when it launches? Because if this is what it is, then, well, is that enough to be justifying a purchase?
Especially considering that there is a lot of question about what this game will be when it comes out.
Yeah, like what will all the quests really be?
Yeah, there's not... Unlike with a lot of other games that have come out recently... Especially like these AAA games, this is one of those games that's still really vague about what you'll be doing the whole time.
Yeah,
and what's going to keep you coming back.
Yeah, the time of progression, it's not clear to me what I'm striving for.
Exactly.
Specifically. With Destiny, even though, funnily enough, when it launched, I hated it.
Yeah.
But in the beta, it was clear. You get to this level, you're progressing by doing these quests and missions, you get experience, which you can use towards this and that, you get stronger, yada, yada, yada. Another beta that stands out to me in the same way was The Division.
Yeah, the Division beta, I love.
Had like a level 15 cap or something, and it basically said, do whatever you want until you hit level 15. And you were just running around doing cool missions. You didn't just get handed ones. You had to go and get them like you normally would. There were some bosses in there. There was some loot that you could get to upgrade, to get a taste for that system as well. It was such a well-done beta, and I was so happy to get that game based on that beta.
Because that brought me back in, because I actually played a demo of it at PAX, and the PAX demo was terrible.
Right.
They did a really bad job of explaining things. They threw us into a firefight with other people in the game without really telling us that was happening. I saw someone up ahead and I shot them, and like, oh, you've just killed someone, one of the other players, so now you're wanted. I'm like, why didn't you? I didn't know there were other people here.
Yeah.
And so then we went and we played the beta, and I was like, I don't know, I'm not sure if I'm into this. And then playing the beta and being able to kind of get my grasp of how the game plays, I went, oh, no, yeah, okay, I like this.
Yeah, it sold it to me. I looked at the pictures and the gameplay and thought, it looks all right. And then I played it and I went, this is a day one purchase. And,
yeah.
And I got it and I put so much time into that game in the end. And if I hadn't played the beta, I might have never bothered to play it.
Well, we would have skipped it if not for the beta.
So, I mean,
after the experience we had at PAX, we were like, not for us.
So if done well, it's proof that if the beta's done properly and successfully, it can really inspire people to buy the game.
Yeah.
But then there's the reverse effect that can happen as well, where you play a beta and go, oh, this is not good.
Mm. And it happens like so often as well, where you'll have hyped the game up in your mind, you get the beta, and you go, actually, do you know what? No. And then they've lost that sale.
Yeah.
Whereas if they hadn't released a beta, they'd at least have my money.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Because I would have just bought the game.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, though, because, I mean, they do put betas on a lot of these titles. And I think that sometimes it makes sense from a standpoint of testing service. So games like The Division, Destiny, Sea of Thieves, they're online all the time games. So they need to test to make sure they can run this, because you don't want to launch a game on day one and have it not work once people have paid $80, $100 for a title.
Yeah, you had two other games that came out with betas this month, which was Monster Hunter had
right,
a beta,
they did.
Which was received really well, and Dragon Ball FighterZ. Also had a beta, which unfortunately, again, had server issues at the very beginning, and no one could get in. So it marred that experience for a lot of people, but then it means that the developers have that server issue to consider when they release the full game.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, the same problems don't exist now because of the beta.
Right. And I mean, they do say at the start of each beta, when you load it up, it's like, this is a beta. This is not a full indication of what the final product will be. So if there's any issues, like, let us know. We're here to help you. Go to the website, yada, yada. There's things that they put in place to make sure you know that this is not a final version of what you're going to buy in a couple of months. But it doesn't mean that you don't leave the game with a bad impression.
Do you know what? A beta that absolutely won me over was Overwatch.
Right.
I was not buying it. Me too. Blizzard, whatever. I don't want a part of it. I don't like multiplayer hero shooters. I don't like it at all. And then the beta was out and Ro was like, why don't we try the beta? And I'm like, fine, I'll download it, whatever. Had the most fun I'd had in so long in a game and just went, damn it, I guess I'm playing online multiplayer shooters now.
Yeah. You're spot on though.
Bought it day one because of the beta.
We were the exact same, me and my mates, like, yeah, we'll give it a go. Oh my God, game changer. This is amazing.
And in the same world, I was all on board for Battleborn, and then I played the beta and went, this is so boring.
Yeah.
Because it just showed how hollow the experience was going to be going forward with that game, and I just went, eh. And that was a day one for me. I was going to get it. I had a pre-order.
Oh, wow.
I cancelled the pre-order because of the beta.
Jeez. I mean, it also brings up the question of all these types of alphas and betas. And, you know, there are some games that don't need a beta test. But they come with one anyway because it's marketing.
Yes.
It's a marketing strategy to get your game in the hands of players as a free promotional tool. It's kind of replaced playable demos nowadays of what they used to be. We used to get, like, the gaming magazine with the disc on the front.
I love those.
They came with, like, 10 demos. And so you get the magazine for, like, back then it was, like, $20 or whatever. And you bring the demo disc home and load it up and have, like, 10 new games you could play because you couldn't afford to buy your own because you're an 11-year-old child.
Yes.
Like, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was great. There was always a skateboarding one on them. And then, like, a platformer and a racing game. That's how I discovered my love for Medieval.
Yeah. And nowadays, I guess the betas kind of have replaced that. They kind of try before you buy element.
Yeah, and because it gives them the demo, but in a timed experience, so that then they can be like, this is when it'll be available to you. You can take part during this.
Press here to pre-order.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end, there's always that thing. It's like, we hope you enjoyed. You can pre-order here.
At least to the store straight away as well. So it's got your credit card linked up like that.
Whereas things like on the PSN, there's the demo section. And I just don't go in there. Like, I occasionally do a quick, like, whatever.
Well, oftentimes as well, the demos aren't there until the game's released.
Yeah.
As well. So by then, you've already heard about it from everyone. Your friends are playing it. You've read reviews. You already have an opinion. Mm. Whilst betas, you are playing them before release.
These days, with things like Let's Plays and all that kind of stuff, you can get the idea of if you're going to enjoy a game long before. Whereas back in the day, you only had your friend's word to go off, so you're like, well, I'll play the demo that's on the PSN disc that I have.
But now it's everywhere. It's also accessible, right?
Yeah, but now I can be like, oh, I don't know if that game's for me. I'll just go watch someone else play it. Oh, yeah, no, I like this. I'll go get it.
Yeah. And on top of that as well, the beta, it's a good indication for the developers of how popular their game is and whether it's got hype, because it's usually only for a weekend or maybe a week at most. Mm. And so you really get a feel for who is going to make time on this specific 2 days or this specific month in this specific year to spend, you know, 5 to 10 hours playing this title months before it comes out.
And the beta off when two people go, we've both got our beta on this weekend.
Ugh.
And you're like, idiots.
It's so hard.
But then what I love is any time a hero shooter's like, our beta's this weekend, Overwatch goes, it's a free weekend with double XP.
Yeah, of course.
Everyone's like, well, that's just dead in the water now.
Yeah, and it is funny because, like, even Sea of Thieves beta started, like, yesterday. Monster Hunter World came out yesterday. So even I was like, oh, I'm torn now, you know? Yeah. Like, what do I do? And, of course, last week we had the Metal Gear Survive beta. Did you play that one?
I don't know a lot of people that did.
Right, and that's a game that people are very concerned about because it's not under Hideo Kojima now. It's still Konami trying to make money off this IP, and people are just like, I watched
footage and it's not giving me hope.
But I mean, you could have downloaded it for free months before release and tried it, and you actively chose not to.
I even saw it on my PS. It came up going like, try the beta, and I really enjoyed the gameplay from Phantom Pain. The gameplay is a lot of fun.
Right.
The thing that drives me insane about Phantom Pain is Hideo Kojima and his story writing.
Well, you should like Survive then. It's like for you.
Yeah, but then I watched it and I'm just like, this looks so boring. It's so boring and repetitive and everything is brown. They're like taking us back to the world of brown palettes.
It is interesting how that works. And also, I mean, we're in this world of early access games too now, which is like a forever beta.
Oh my God. Early access is a whole other problem with releasing unfinished games and getting money for them.
Yep.
So that they can finish their unfinished game. And then Ark releases out of early access and it's still an unfinished game. Player Unknown released from early access and still had major problems.
Much better than it was when it launched.
Yes, it is much better, but it still had problems.
You should just call it something else, because it's kind of like a Kickstarter where you back it, but you get it now and get to track its development. It's kind of what it is. And
well, because technically Fortnite right now is in early access still.
And that game feels finished as
I know,
you're playing it.
But I think it's because you've got it's early access from an actual developer in.
Actual developer.
Well, no, like
a real developer with real feelings.
It's unreal. Like they have. They have a lot of backing. Epic.
It's Epic Games.
Yeah, no, Epic. They have a lot of, like, they have a lot of backup behind
a lot of money
them.
As well. They're a proven entity in terms of the game world. I mean, these are guys that make Gears of War.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a small fish in a big pond. This is, like, one of the major players. So they've done a good job with that, definitely. But also, I mean, without early access, would these games even have the money to be developed in the first place?
Well, it's quite interesting because things like Fortnite, when it releases, the full game will be free to play.
Right.
And we've paid, both you and I paid for our early access. Because,
sure did.
And I don't think either of us regret paying for our early
access. I've gotten more value out of Fortnite last year than any other game that I bought.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous how much time I put into that game, even though it's early access. Best $80 I spent all year. Crazy amount of hours into there. So I've proven that it can work.
Yeah, and it, like they have a portion of it free to play right now, which is the Battle Royale, which was, you know, but it's that main game, that base building that I feel is actually, I prefer that over the Battle Royale game style, but that's just who I am. And you don't have access to that in the free to play. I think in July is when it's becoming.
I thought it was going to be earlier than that, but they probably pushed it back.
Yeah. But like,
all their resources are going towards Battle Royale now instead of Save the World, which is another whole annoying
whole
thing.
Another problem.
I'm not even going to go into.
Yeah, that's annoying. But like, at no point do I regret both me and my partner purchasing early access, and we're able to support it and put some money into something, you know, that feels polished when I picked it up.
Mm. I guess that's the main caveat, isn't it? It's like, is it good?
Yeah.
You know, is it worth paying for today? And with betas, is it good now? Because if it is, you know, if a beta's good, the finished product's going to be holy hell really good.
And in terms of like they continuously fix the product as they're going along with it. They haven't just dropped and been like, okay, we're done. They're coming back in, they're making changes, they're working on the server, they're trying to fix little bugs that they're finding.
Yeah,
it's similar to how Overwatch has the PTR, which is, again, a free thing that at any time you can choose to log on to that.
It's a public test region.
Yeah, public test region, where you can go on, try a new hero like a month before they release, because they're testing the balance there.
And you understand it's a test region, so you don't take it as seriously as you would take the real competitive game.
Exactly, and nothing carries over from that region. Like, anything you do there, once you log off, is gone.
Mm.
And so because of that, you don't feel like you're getting cheated in any way, but you can go in, have a bit of fun with a new mode, a new map, a new hero, some tweaks, a new build. And it works quite well, because then they can go, oh no, this really doesn't work.
Some devs definitely do it right.
Yeah.
And I think also, though, at the same time, I think if you play a beta and it's not the experience you wanted, don't write a game off. Because I played the beta for Ghost Recon Wildlands when that was on beta, and I didn't really enjoy it. I thought, is that it? I left the beta, I finished all the quests in it, and I thought, I didn't really enjoy much of that. Like, I finished it, but it was like, grinding through.
And then the main game came out,
and then I got
the
main game.
Terrible.
No, stop it. I got the game, and I reviewed it, and it surprised me how great it was, and me and my mates played it so much. It was probably behind Fortnite, my most played game last year. I put so much time into it, and I didn't expect that at all, because the beta really was like, is that it? But once it came out, and I was really in the main rhythm of the whole thing, I loved every second of it. So I think that, don't write a game off when the beta's not good. Still give it a go, unless it obviously reviews terribly and it's not your genre and it's totally outside what you liked. But like, that's an example that I played where it got turned around by the time it came out.
And I think that's the big thing, is like, a beta is, you still need to always consider that it's not a finished product. But I find it really interesting sometimes when like a beta is released like the week before the game comes out, because then you're like, Okay, that's going to be the game. There's no changes being made there.
Exactly. Cam, thank you so much.
Thank you for getting intimate with me, Luke.
I've always wanted to get intimate with you. We are the Bears of Checkpoint.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I think it had to happen at some point. The fur had to rub. And I appreciate the opportunity. Surprisingly sweaty.
Stop.
Catch us next week with another Intimates here on Checkpoint. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.